Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
April 25th, welcome back to Edgework, presented by Stacks. I'm Zach Phillips, joined here this morning by Russ and Bill and So Money to help break down tonight's games, dig into a little bit about what happened last night, and hopefully turn some things around here and start handing out some winners, because it has been a little bit of a tough go here for the Edgework crew as of late. If you look at our season, I mean, like 0-6 on Tuesday, we go 0-1 last night. Obviously, a smaller bet, taking a longer shot on Ryan Nugent Hopkins, anytime goal scorer, 3-1 there. And then now we are down 6.3 units on the season. If you look at the whole year, that is a negative 0.8% ROI on 345 wins, 385 losses, and 17 pushes. So let's get things going. And So Money, I see your buddies here in the chat early. Slam deal. The playoffs, he's back. Why
we're able to ban people from chats, right?
Yeah.
So like, why hasn't this guy been banned yet?
That's an executive decision from Rob. I don't make those kinds of calls. I don't bring him down the hammer like that. So slam deal, as long as I'm here, as long as Rob says you're okay, then you're welcome. You're welcome to stay.
All right. He should be kicked out.
Let's go through the games before we go through the games last night, I just want to remind people that if you haven't yet, make sure to sign up at Pinnacle Sportsbook. Pinnacle is the world's sharpest sportsbook and is now available in Ontario. You can find out what professional bettors have known for decades. Pinnacle is where the best bettors play. You must be 19 plus in Ontario. Please play responsibly. Remember, not available in the U.S., but make sure to head on over to Pinnacle as we pull up odds here for today's games. You'll see the Pinnacle Sportsbook will have best odds on a lot of them. Let's talk about last night's games a little bit. Let's start here in Toronto, where the Leafs hosted the Bruins for game three of that series, losing that one 4-2. And it's unfortunate because it feels like the way that this team has lost both games in this series is kind of being, you know, just reminiscent of how they've lost series in the past, where you walk away from a game and say, you know what, they played well. They played really well. They deserved a different outcome. You know, we talked about So Money on Monday. Oh, 5-1, that was not indicative of how the game went. You're right, but this is the way that we've seen this team lose games in the playoffs year in and year out now. Was last night just another example of that for you there, So Money? You look at the numbers you've created for yourself after the game to kind of try to evaluate that one. Is it just another, you played well, you didn't deserve that, but you lost the game because you couldn't score?
Yeah, I thought that of the three games, this was, even looking at the 5-1 game, this was probably the weaker of the Leafs games, especially in terms of offensive generation. I thought that Boston did a much better job tightening things up on the Leafs, right? So Nylander needs to be back for the Leafs to have any shot here. I was encouraged by the Leafs. Leafs played defensively for the most part. It's just one of those things where they just can't get over it, right? Like, I don't know what else to say about the Leafs, right? Like, yeah. They played well enough to win. Yes, it was the weakest game out of their three, but they were still tied in the third period, right? Even if it was for like 2 seconds, right? So it's really frustrating. And I mean, I can imagine as a Leafs fan that, you know, like, it's not a bad team. They're right there, right? I see your caption there for Mitch Marner. I mean, like, yeah, he needs to be better too. Like, Nylander needs to be back. I still like the Leafs to win the series, but the last few years I've liked the Leafs to win every series as well. So the way I look at it, they just gotta keep doing what they're doing. Eventually, the way that they're losing these games, it shouldn't be sustainable, right? So Just keep doing what you're doing. The only concern I have is that as the series goes on, you know, Boston's going to get better defensively, right? So the Leafs are going to have to are going to have to fight through that as well.
Russ, I don't know if there's any just different takeaways for yourself from these games other than just you got to find ways to score, maybe tighten things up a little bit, but that seems to be the narrative every single year with them.
Yeah, I mean, somebody nailed it, really. I think last night was a disappointing result, especially when they played pretty well for two periods. Like somebody said, that game one, that score was not indicative of how they played. Their expected goals were like over six, I think, in that game. So they just weren't finding the back of the net. Where last night, I feel like they played really, really good hockey for two periods, and then the Boston just got the better of them in the third period, and that was the end of it. I agree with so many. I am betting the Toronto series price here. You know, anything above plus 200 or so, I think, is a good price, especially when you have this next game in Toronto as well. I will be interested to see if Boston goes back to Linus Ullmark, if they just stick with Swayman in this game four. Probably just stay with a hot hand, right, and go with Swayman. So I think that's something to kind of monitor. But I think they'll get this next one, and 2-2 after four is not a bad spot to be in this series. I think it could easily go to seven games. But disappointing loss last night, but don't hit the panic button. I think the Leafs are fine. I do think they are the better team of the two. They need to tighten up defensively, and I think they'll be fine.
The only thing I wanted to kind of just add to before we close off on the Leafs here, and we'll continue to talk about some of the other games. Last night, I'm watching the game, obviously, in between periods, and they cut to the panel, and they're talking about these guys. There's one thing that I just have to call out here with this, and it's, you know, one of the guys on the panel, Kelly Rudy, there says, Mitch Marner just needs to remember it's just hockey, and you need to have fun, and just have fun with playing with it. I get that, but it's a little bit too far past the time to just have fun at this point. Like, to say that, to suggest that for a guy who's making $10.9 million a year, who continually shows up in the playoffs goes to the playoffs and then doesn't show up in the playoffs. Like, he just takes this time as just a couple extra games that he's got to get through before him and his wife go on vacation down to Cabo at the end of the season. This is a pattern that is occurring every single year. This is the ninth straight year. And Rob tweets out last night, you know, Mitch Marner has not been good here through a period and a half of that game. Lo and behold, 10 seconds later, he makes the pass that Matthew Nyes is able to score on. That's great. And then he just fucks off again. And this is just a pattern that we're seeing over and over and over again. And it's like, you know what? The time to have fun, it's remembering it's just a game. It's just hockey. I get that. And at the core of it, it is, but this is also the playoffs. This is when every single other person grits down and, you know, blocks the extra shot, takes the hit to make a play, skates the puck in through the offensive zone past the blue line because they're not afraid of some contact from the defenseman coming over. Like, it's just making those extra little plays. He's not willing to. And you know what? Truthfully, you know what's fun, guys? It's fucking winning hockey games, and it's winning series, and it's winning Stanley Cups, and, you know, little dipsy doodles, backhand no look passes to absolutely fucking nobody in the neutral zone. That's not fun. It's not fun for anybody. So maybe it's time to start to figure out how to buy in and play playoff hockey. So I get it. It is supposed to be fun. It is a game at the end of the day. You're playing, you know, a kid's game professionally. That's fun, but you're also a professional, and this is a business. And you watch everyone else in the NHL when it comes to playoff time, and these guys are chomping down at the bit to do anything and everything that they can to win games. That was just the one thing that was just bothersome from last night's takeaways of just like, yeah, it's fun, but also we're here to win. We're like, let's dial in. So that was my final takeaway of it. And you know, I think it's also what you guys are saying here, where you're talking about the way the team played. What happens if Mitch Marner is just even slightly involved in the game?
Yeah.
We could be looking at an entirely different series. Maybe game one still plays out 5-3. Who knows, right? But maybe last night he shows up, the power play doesn't go 0-for-5. Maybe they're able to generate more at 5-on-5. It's just you can look at those and be like, it could have changed here or here or here. Some of that stuff is frustrating as a fan because it feels like it's just Groundhog Day, to be honest with you boys. All right. Another team that probably is starting to feel like Groundhog Day. The Vegas Golden Knights defeat the Dallas Stars there last night, 3-1, go up 2-0 on the series. This team has not been in the league for very long here, gentlemen. But I'm their slam deal said earlier, bet the Knights every game, you'll make it all back, baby. This Golden Knights team, it's been causing us nightmares all season long. Russ, is it continuing to do that for you here in the playoffs?
Yeah, it's absolutely awful. I thought for sure the Stars would bounce back last night. Even looking at that price, I thought it was a little bit long on the Stars, but I thought, you know, it was kind of maybe warranted because of how bad they played in game one. But, yeah, Ottinger has just not looked great for the Stars. You know, he was kind of slipping at the end of the regular season. And these first two games, he really has not played very well. And, yeah, this Knights team is just infuriating to me, man. You know, I'm a metrics guy, analytics guy, and you look at some of the analytics, the Stars should be dominating this team. But they are just a different team when they play in the playoffs, just a different team. You know, when the postseason comes around, they just seem to turn it on, just like they just did last year. And nobody, you know, nobody saw that run coming. So, yeah, it's completely infuriating. You know, Slam Deal is probably right with these prices. You know, just bet the Knights every game and get rich, because I can't understand. You know, I can't. They're like plus 140 or so. That's game two. It's absolutely crazy. And that game was not particularly close. And also, I'm not big on Logan Thompson, and he's just played great. He played awesome last night. Completely unexpected. I thought he was a downgrade from Aiden Hill pretty much all year. And, you know, he played awesome last night, completely infuriating. Just like everybody in the chat, everyone in our group chat, I do have the Stars in this series, unfortunately. Probably should have gone the other way when everyone was on the same bet looking at it now. But, yeah, I don't know what to make of it. You know, down 0-2 and going back to Vegas, extremely tough place to play, especially in the playoffs. That place is absolutely nuts. If you've been to a game there, it's, you know, second to none. So I don't know, man. I do think it's time to panic for the Stars. If I was a Stars fan or had any futures on the Stars, I would be worrying. But fortunately, I just have the one series bet, which is probably done for.
So, Money, how are you kind of evaluating this series as it is right now, heading back to Vegas into that barn? You know, we talked about after game one, you don't want to go down 0-2 in this series to go back there. They're down 0-2 now.
Yeah, well, firstly, what forms do I have to fill out and stuff to, like, ban people from chats? Right? Like, this is getting me rattled here. No, but, I mean, credit to Vegas, right? Like, they've done what they need to do in this series, right? Yes, Ottinger hasn't been up to the level that we've seen, but I also think back to we think of Ottinger and we judge him based on the way he played in that Calgary series, right? We see him getting to that level, and that's the level that we always think that he'll be able to get to. What if he can't get there consistently, right? We've seen this all year from him, where he's a very good goaltender, but maybe he's not at the level that he's not at the consistent level that he performed in that seven game Calgary series, where he almost stole that series. So I think that there's a big part of me that wants to kind of temper my expectations of him, and now we have a large enough sample size where maybe he's really good, but he's just not at that level. So there's that with Ottinger. Aiden Hill did it last year. Logan Thompson is coming in this year to do it. At this point, I mean, plug and play. They're insulating their goaltending. You saw how they choked out that game in the third period. I mean, you choked out that game on the road, sitting on a lead against a team down 0-1, right? Like that says a lot to me, right? It wasn't as if they like hung on or anything. Like they choked that game out. So
he scores on five shots in the third period. Exactly.
So I mean, as much as we want to talk about Dallas not playing well, I think we need to look at Vegas and like everything that they're doing in terms of executing their game plan for this series. They've come into this series with a tremendous game plan, and they're executing it perfectly, right? I mean, at some point you just gotta tip your cap, and right now I'm tipping my cap to Vegas as the money drains out of the bankroll. But I mean, it is it's just the way it is at this point. It's maybe this is why Vegas tanked that last game to like set up the series against Dallas, right? Like maybe this is what they wanted, right? So let's see how the rest of the series plays out, but I think you have to give Vegas tons of credit here.
All right, last game that we saw take place last night, the LA Kings find a way to even up that series against the Edmonton Oilers, now 1-1, heading back to LA, winning last night in overtime 5-4. So Money, I'll go to you first because I'm interested in your thoughts, especially considering, you know, you had kind of looked ahead a little bit, saying if the Canucks pass the first round, one of these two teams would be the next opponent. Who would you rather play? And some of the kind of styles that we had seen them, and what might be a better matchup for the Canucks. Obviously, let's just take the matchup for the Canucks aside, but those two things have been kind of playing out here in this series to a degree. How have you kind of handicapped or broke down the matchup through the first two games and what the Kings have been able to do, winning last night's game 5-4 against the Oilers?
Yeah, I mean, well, look at these games, right? You had 11 goals in game one, you had 9 goals in game two. If you told me before the series started that we'd have an 11 and a 9, I would have told you that the Kings were trailing the series 2-0, and I would have been and I would have felt very confident about that. So I think Edmonton has been the better team, 5-on-5. I think that they've generated a lot. If I'm a Kings fan, I'm encouraged at how much the Kings have generated as well, right? Like, it's not as if they've just been wallflowers watching this team, watching this Oilers team skate around them, and they're just and just hanging on, trying to get an overtime win. So as this series goes on, you would think that it would get tighter, even though the recent history between these teams don't necessarily suggest that. But I think that this year's iterations of these teams make me think that it is going to get tighter. As the series get tighter, you need Skinner to be better, right? I don't think he played poorly necessarily in game one. I thought that last night there was a lot to his game that was left on the table. So I think that Skinner needs to get better, because if he can't be better than Talbot in a series that's going to start getting tighter, I do think the Oilers are in trouble, right? So with these wide open games, these are the games that the Oilers should be winning. And it's concerning that the games have been wide open and we're still sitting here tied 1-1, right? So I think the Kings are going to find their game. They've shown this all year. They've been up and down all year, right? So right now they're kind of on a downswing defensively, yet we're still tied 1-1, right? So I'm encouraged if I'm a Kings fan, but I think that as this series tightens up, the Oilers are going to need Skinner.
Russ, what have you made of the series so far? And I actually don't even know what you were on ahead of this one. I think for the most part, I knew what everyone was on for the other series, but I don't know where you were heading into it. So based on the first couple of games, what have you made of it so far, and how's it been working out for you?
Yeah, I have a play on the Kings series from before the playoffs started. I think we got it like plus 160-ish. You know, I think I probably would have hit that again after game one. But somebody nailed it. I think both of these teams are very, very shaky in net. I've liked the over in both games because of the questionable goalies on both sides. Didn't know what we were going to get for Talbot, and Skinner's just so up and down, as so many said. And, you know, that's that's basically come to fruition the last two games. As we know, you know, LA Kings, they can shut you down on defense, but we're not seeing that from these first two games. They are skating with the Oilers, and like we've talked about on here before, home team, the better team kind of dictates the pace most times, and that's been the Oilers for the first two games, and the Kings are skating right with them. I'm very impressed with what I'm seeing so far from the Kings' offense. I mean, that game last night was absolutely wild, and, for the Kings to go up 2-0 right away in the first period and kind of take the crowd out of it, that was that was huge for them. And, there was some mention in the chat of taking the Oilers, on the live line once they were down 2-0. I did not do that because I was rooting for the Kings just for the series price. And, happy they held on. I think, if the Kings can lock it down on defense when they go back to L.A., I think that they should take the lead in this series. And, I like my series bet at that price of plus 160 or so, especially going back to LA. Like somebody said, if you would have told me that, there'd be 20 goals in the first two games and it's still 1-1, I'm very happy with that, especially with how we know the Kings can lock it down on certain nights. So hopefully when they go back to LA, we'll see a little bit more of that defense that we saw at the end of the regular season where they were, top two or three in expected goals allowed. I think that, we should get back to that. And hopefully Talbot will kind of figure it out. I really don't have a ton of confidence in him with how his middle of the season was when he got benched for Riddick. But, like I said, if they can limit the shots that the Oilers get and just get kind of middling average goaltending, then I think they should be able to win this series and move on.
All right, let's get to the games here tonight. We do have two of them ahead of us on the schedule, so let's break both of those down, see if you guys have bets in them, as well if people in the chat have any questions. Hopefully you're able to have some takeaways on some of the stuff we're breaking down from the games that we've seen and what we might see going forward in those as well. But for tonight's games, we see the Lightning taking on the Florida Panthers. Tampa right now, minus 102, best price available. If you look on the other side, there's only one book offering it right now, but there's a plus 100. For the most part, though, on the Panthers, you can find minus 104s, minus 105s, in that kind of range. As for the total in this game, 5.5s, heavily juiced to the over, mostly sitting in the sixes, total of six at the over, minus 115. So, Money, what are your thoughts on this game, side or total, and do you have a play for us here?
Yeah, so looking at the series and going into the series, this was a concern for Tampa Bay. It's just not a good matchup, right? Yes, Bobrovsky has played at a very high level, but we know that he does have the pedigree and he is capable of doing that. So him playing at that level shouldn't necessarily be a shocker. On the other side, Vasilevsky has played very well in this series as well, right? So they're kind of canceling each other out. Now you look at the 5-on-5 play. Florida has significantly carried the play 5-on-5. They are able to generate whatever they want, and they're basically able to get to wherever they need to go on the ice. Tampa Bay, you would think that going back home that maybe they would want to tighten it up, but at this point, I don't know if they're able to, right? Like we've seen them long enough now where they've played at the level where they have been leaky defensively, and now they're playing a Florida team that is able to do whatever they want. So based on what was coming out of the Tampa Bay camp, Cooper was talking about getting more shots. He was saying that there is tons of space out there. They're just not shooting enough. So and it's actually been fortunate that, fortunate if you've been betting the under, that that these unders have come through, right? I expect at some point with the amount of space on the ice, you have to consider the change of venue and whether that's going to impact the strategy or the space of both teams. I don't think it will in this scenario, because I don't think Tampa Bay has the horses in this matchup to tighten it up. And I think Cooper knows that based on his comments. So based on his comments, based on how I feel that there's not much that's going to change in terms of the on-ice play, I did bet the over six. I like it up to minus 115. Even though both games have gone under, I've got I've got nothing here that is making me think that anything's going to change in terms of offensive generation. Yeah, both goalies can put up stellar performances again, and it's possible that they will. But that's not something that I'm gonna be betting on. I'd rather bet on the way that this series has played out on ice, and because of that, I think that there is value on the over.
So there you go. We'll lock in over 6 minus 108. That is courtesy of our friends over at Pinnacle. So grab that one. Russ, any other thoughts on this game here tonight? Any bets for yourself?
Yeah, just to piggyback off what So Money said there, I do completely agree with the over. We've been on the over in both of the first two games, which, you know, begrudgingly did not get there. But I think they both should have got there. But it's indicative, you know, if you've watched the market, both of the games went under the first two games, but the market has moved up on the total. We were seeing 5.5, you know, juice to the over, just barely, minus 120s, and now we're seeing a flat 6. I think that tells you pretty much what we are seeing is what the odds makers are seeing as well. My numbers do have closer above 6 here, so I completely agree. You know, unfortunately, I think both of these goalies have cost me some money in the first two games, so I'm a little bit shy. And but yeah, I do agree. I think over 6 is a great play. I think this will be a very, very tight game, very close. You know, an overtime bet is not out of the question. I think 3-3 in the third period is not out of the question. Easily get that over. But yeah, for me, when it comes to the playoffs, I have to pivot a little bit. You know, this is a lot different for me than like a regular season when we have 12 to 15 games on a Thursday, and I can kind of cherry pick some of these spots. So in the playoffs, I do tend to transition a lot more to player props. I think, I think the lines are a lot tighter, and with these games playing, with these teams playing, you know, each other up to six, seven times, these odds makers, they just get better and better as the season goes on. So I do tend to transition a little bit to player props in the postseason. And there's one I like here. It's Braden Point over 2.5 shots on goal. Yeah, we played it right around minus 135. Yeah, I think that's a fantastic play. This is kind of just going back to the well, riding the hot hand here. You know, he only had one shot on goal that last game, but before that, he's gone over this total in 6 of his last games. He's had 4, 4, 5, 3, 4, 3 shots on goal in his last 5, 6 games before game 2. So I think we're just riding the hot hand here. You know, 2.5 is probably a little bit too low for a guy that is second in ice time on the Tampa Bay forwards. You know, he's on the first power play, although the Panthers don't commit a ton of penalties. He's on the first power play, and, you know, he just gets a ton of shots on net, it seems like. So I think that is kind of the way I would go. You know, even if we do get some insane goaltending, just like we did the last couple of games, you could still cash this over. Braden Point could easily get 3 shots on goal. I think minus 135 is kind of a cheap price for 2.5. So that's the way I will go on this first game is Braden Point over 2.5 shots on goal, minus 135.
There you go. 2 best bets in the first one there that we lock in. We'll recap them all at the very end of the show before we finish off. As well, if you are watching right now and you haven't already, please hit that like button, subscribe here to the channel as we get to the second and final game of the day. Taking a look at the Islanders hosting the Carolina Hurricanes here tonight. The Islanders plus 142. You can find that price on Pinnacle. Then on the other side, the Hurricanes minus 150. Total of 5.5 right across the board here right now. So Money, go back to you here on this one to start this off. What are your thoughts on where we see the total at, the price? Do you have any interest in getting involved in this one?
Yeah, probably not. I'll probably stay away. Sorokin's going to start here for the Isles, so I kind of want to see how he does. Yeah, other than that, I think that even though we had 8 goals in game 2, I think with the switch of venue, I think that that these two teams still should be lined at 5.5. Although Carolina is is generating a lot more. So I just have to see how Sorokin plays in terms of the side. It's tough luck for the Islanders, because I felt that they were obviously they blew that lead, right? But I think that Carolina should have won that game if you look at the totality of the game. So they're still carrying the play. I don't know how much different that's going to be in Long Island. So for that reason, I will lay off. I think that I'm not necessarily rushing to bet the Islanders, but I feel that that the number's probably fair where it is right now.
Russ, you do have a bet for us here in this game.
Yeah, a couple of angles I like. You know, I don't think we need to break down the metrics of these two teams. You know, done that. If you watch the first couple of games, you kind of know this Carolina team is just awesome. I think top five in pretty much every metric you can find. The Islanders want to slow down pace and just kind of muck it up, you know, Patrick Waugh style. So, you know, I don't think we need to get in under the hood here and discuss, you know, who's the better team. But my numbers do have the Carolina Hurricanes that should be lined significantly higher than -155. I think -155 on Carolina is a little bit short. I probably would play this all the way up to -170. I think there are some books that are starting to move that direction. Yeah, -150 at Betway is a great price in my opinion. You know, like I said, obviously this is a very chalky play. I think Carolina is the better team. Predicted them to get the sweep before the series started, and I do have them in the finals in my bracket. So you know, that's how I feel about the Hurricanes. We bet them a bunch in the last month of the regular season. This is a very good team, and now they're getting really, really good goaltending as well. Frederik Andersen is just absolutely on fire. So this is a very tough matchup, you know, and I think, you know, my numbers have this closer to -180. So I will play that -150 and take that value, you know, pretty much every day. A couple of the intangibles are narrative-y stuff. You know, it's going to be very, very tough for Islanders to get up after blowing that game too. I think that's just a huge, huge loss for them, completely deflating. So, you know, does Patrick Waugh have him back in form for game three? It probably would be tough. But, you know, yeah, like so many said, we're getting Sorokin in net here, which I think is a very interesting decision. You know, I'm surprised he didn't start the first two games, honestly. Going with Varlamov is a strange decision in my mind. But that does lead me to like a player prop as well that we could probably lock in. I'm going to go with Sorokin over 29.5 saves as well. Couple different things here. If you watched game two at all, Carolina just absolutely dominated that game in shots. They 39 shots to the Islanders 12. Yeah, I think that's a great price at -110-ish, -115 to go over 29.5 saves. Like I said, but I will kind of break this down a little bit more. New York Islanders 28th in shots on goal against in the regular season. And then if you look at the last month of the regular season, they've been no better, 26th in shots on goal against. And Sorokin has been playing pretty well in the limited time he has. His last two games, he had 44 saves and 43 saves in the regular season. So he actually is getting a ton of saves because the Islanders defense can't really stop anybody. If you follow Rob or any of the other hockey pundits on Twitter, they tweeted out some of the all shot attempts in that game too. When you look at the block shots and all of the shots, it was 104-28 in that game too. Carolina just getting every look that they wanted. As somebody said, that you know, they completely were the better team. But I think, you know, my numbers have Sorokin's saves way over 30. I think it's closer to 34 here. You know, I think this probably is a little bit more of a low scoring game. I could see Hurricanes 3-1 or so. Something like that would be great. So, yeah, I think, you know, all of that being said, on Carolina Hurricanes because I think that price is a little bit low, regardless of where they're playing at. And I think they should get a ton of shots on goal here. I think Sorokin is probably the better goalie, even though he's struggled all year. And I think that he could easily have 30 saves here in a loss. So a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a side and a player prop, but that's the way that we're playing it tonight.
There you go. We end up with four best bets here tonight on two games. So hopefully people are able to have some takeaways from this. If you are, hit that like button, subscribe here to the channel, turn on notifications so you get notified every time we go live when round two comes up, when we're going to be doing series previews and stuff. For those as well, you're not going to want to miss any of that. But to recap our picks for today, you can head over to the BetStamp app in the Find Better section as Edgework HQ. Checking out our picks for today, Braden Point over 2.5 shots on goal, -135. In that Panthers Lightning game, we're also going to take the over 6, -108. And then in the Canes Islanders game, we got Sorokin over 29.5 saves, -113. And then the Canes money line, -150 against the Islanders. So those are our best bets for today. Make sure to head on over to the BetStamp app in the Find Better section as Edgework HQ to see all of our picks, recap everything. Subscribe here to the channel, hit that like button. So Money, Russ, thank you guys for taking the time to do this here. As always, we appreciate it. So Money, we'll see you back here tomorrow. Russ, we'll see you back here next week. For everyone in the chat, we will see you guys back here tomorrow morning, 10:30 a.m. Eastern time for more picks and previews. Enjoy the games tonight. Good luck on your bets.